The Premier League's back, and so is the punt, though in a style you won't have seen before. There are changes afoot in the Prem, with VAR introduced for the first time. Thankfully though, Dave Kellner and Alex Dunn have been checked, reviewed, and we're satisfied that play can continue under their watchful eye. They'll be looking at the Friday night clash between Liverpool and Norwich, West Ham v Man City, and Spurs vs Villa on Saturday, as well as the two games on Sunday, Newcastle host Arsenal and Ollie's Man United take on Frank Lampard's Chelsea. We'll also be hearing from Robbie Savage, our friends at the Football Writers Association, and Derek McGovern, as well as getting the best bets in the Football League. All that to come, but we start on Friday night at Anfield.
We do indeed, and we'll come to that match very shortly. It's good to be back with you, Alex Dunn, alongside me here in the studio. And I'm glad the new season is upon us, because last season, I've been able to burn that naps table from last season. I finished low down the pecking order. Pete Farris, who gives his championship nap every week, finished top. So there was two reasons to burn that particular table. And yeah, it's good to be back.
Yeah, it certainly is. And Liverpool-Norwich, a great way to start things off, I think, on Friday night. Hopefully, plenty of goals in that game.
Yeah, Liverpool long odds on, as you would imagine, to win the game. They're 1-8. The draw is 8-1. Norwich in the betting at 20-1. We've got plenty of enhanced odds on the William Hill website and on the app. I'll spin through a couple of them that might interest you. Mo Salah to score two or more in the game was 100-30. That's been boosted to 4-1. Liverpool to win by five or more goals in the match. That was 11-2. That's been enhanced to 13-2. And now Liverpool haven't made any major moves in the transfer market. And I'm worried about that front three this season, because they've been on the go for a long time. World Cup 2018, all last season, into the Champions League final, then African Cup of Nations and Copa America. Can they maintain their standards this season?
Maybe not throughout the season. They certainly can against Norwich, though. I think Mane's only just come back, so it's likely that we'll see Origi feature in this game. It doesn't matter, though. Liverpool will be way too strong for Norwich. I don't mind Norwich as a side. I think last year in the Championship, they were fantastic. But this is a completely different ball game, and I can see Liverpool setting down a marker here, because they've got it to prove now, having done so well last season, yet Man City won the league. So they'll want to put a marker down early, and I think they will here.
OK, I like Norwich, though, because they've got Delia Smith, and they've capped their ticket prices at £30, which I think is admirable this season. So a couple of reasons to be supporting Norwich throughout the campaign.
Yeah, pies and cheap tickets. What's not to like?
OK, let's get to the bets then. We fancy Liverpool to win this game pretty strongly.
Yeah, I think we've seen in recent years, Liverpool under Klopp, their first game of the season, they just score so many goals. We've seen a 4-3 against Arsenal. We saw them beat West Ham 4-0 last year. Watford 3-all as well was in there. So I think that they will score plenty here. There's one man that I want to talk about. That's Roberto Firmino. He has been in fantastic form now for 2 or 3 years. He's the best in his position in the world, as far as I'm concerned. He's only 2 goals shy of scoring 50 in the Premier League. He'd be the first Brazilian to do so. I think he could be key. I'd take him to score, but I think Liverpool will win this so, so easily. I'd go 3 or 4-0. I think 4-0 is the most likely scoreline, to be honest.
4-0 then to Liverpool, according to Alex. Let's hear from a man now who fell just a shade shy of 50 Premier League goals. Here's Robbie Savage.
Premier League prediction time. Man City to be champions once again. Rodri, record signing, great acquisition. Aguero, he'll win the Golden Boot. Second place, Liverpool, not sure they'll get 97 points, and I think they'll lose more than one game this season, but they'll still run City close. Third place, Spurs, on Ndombele, great signing, he'll fit in really well. Spurs, third place. Manchester United will finish fourth. Wan-Bissaka, Maguire will tighten up that defence with the best goalkeeper in the Premier League behind them, and they've got players up front, pace, power, athleticism. They'll score goals. United, fourth. Bottom three, Norwich City. Pukki, all those goals last season to get them into the Premier League. I think he'll struggle this season. Norwich to finish bottom. Second bottom, Sheffield United. Chris Wilder, what an amazing job. Expansive, attacking, free-flowing, overlapping centre-halves. Might be great to watch, but won't keep him up. And then Southampton. Ings, Che Adams, don't think they'll score the goals to keep the Saints in the Premier League.
So the thoughts there of Robbie Savage ahead of the new season. Let's move on to West Ham versus Manchester City. West Ham in the market at 12-1 for this one. The draw 5-1. Manchester City at long odds on 24-100 to win the game. Don't forget as well, you can build a your odds bet on the William Hill website and on the app for the new season. And as well as watching us here on The Punt, you can listen at all your usual podcast places. So make sure You check that out. I don't think this is going to be easy for Manchester City. Been pretty impressed with what West Ham have done in the transfer window. They are a bit like playing Championship Manager 99-2000, where it's all out attack. They brought in lots of midfielders with plenty of creativity. Those second-tier players, the likes of Sebastian Haller, and I think Andre Yarmolenko coming back into the fold, he's going to have a big impact as well this season. So I've been pretty impressed with what West Ham have done.
Yeah, they sort of look quite exciting for once, West Ham, which is a little bit different from what we've seen in recent years. They do have that wealth of attacking talent. It's just whether or not they can gel, because West Ham have signed plenty of strikers in the past who haven't gone on to really do anything. So it'll be interesting to see how they get on. It's not an easy start, though, against Manchester City. I do happen to know, Dave, you've got quite a strong fancy in this.
I really like Manchester City to win and both teams to score. I think with West Ham's attacking talent, this happened actually in a pre-season match. Manchester City conceded first against West Ham. West Ham went on to lose the game 4-1. So I'm going with City to win and both teams to score. That is the bet of the weekend.
Okay, for Dave, not for me, I'm afraid. I don't like that at all, because for all West Ham's attacking talent, they've got Declan Rice to win the ball back. That's it, no one else. He's on his own there. And Man City's midfield, I think, will just overrun West Ham's from an attacking point of view. They'll keep the ball. If you don't have the ball, you can't score, Dave. 2-0 or 3-0 to Man City for me. I think they'll be pretty comfortable.
Difference of opinion in that game then. Let's move on. We're going to have a word with our guys at the FWA.
Man City, Liverpool, I think, as the top two, only because they were so outstanding last season. And I think the gap between them and third place, I think, was too big a gap, I think, to close in one season. I think, obviously, having most of my football career at Tottenham, I'm really hoping that they are going to finish in third place. I think what they have got, I think they've got a lot of stability in the group. That having reached the final of the Champions League, I think they are now at a different level to, I think, what they've been in the last few years. But I think it will be a dogfight. I think it's going to be so exciting.
I think it's a straight shootout between Liverpool and Man City for who wins the league, and I think that if Liverpool keeps Salah, Mane and Firmino fit, that they will win the league this year. I think it's incredibly difficult. Guardiola's never won the league three times at Barcelona. I think it's been done once before by Man United, I believe, but I don't see it happening here. I think the top four will be Liverpool, Man City. I think it will be Tottenham. And I've got a sneaking feeling, I don't know why, it might be wind, but I think it will be Arsenal. I've just got this feeling. I don't think Man United will get there. I think they're a mile away from it. I don't think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is the answer to them. And I don't think he's as good a coach as the coaches that will finish in front of him.
Top two is already spoken for. I think everyone else, the next four clubs and maybe one or two outsiders will be fighting for three and four. I don't think there's a lot. It was shown last year there's not a lot between three, four, five and six. So with Maguire coming in, yes, off the top of my head, I do think they've got enough to get in the top four.
Man City.
Liverpool. Tottenham. Man U.
Let's have a look at Spurs versus Villa next then. Spurs are 2-7 to win the game at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And the draw is 9-2 with Aston Villa in the betting at 9-1. If you're looking at match result and both teams to score, a full range of markets as per usual on the William Hill website and on the app. Spurs 19-10 in that market. The draw is 11-2 with Aston Villa in the betting at 14-1. Don't forget you can build your odds on the website and the app as well. And I think this feels like a defining season for Tottenham Hotspur. Harry Kane's had a full pre-season, which is unusual for him. They've sorted out the stadium now. They're in there. Mauricio Pochettino, sixth season in charge. They can expect, I think, to close the gap at least on the top two.
Yeah, and they've spent some money as well, which is a bit different for Spurs.
It's a ticker tape parade, isn't it?
Instead of just buying stadiums, they've actually gone and bought a couple of players. I do like Spurs a lot. It's weird to think of them as Champions League finalists from last year. I still don't see them as being that good, if you like, but they're a very, very good side. And this is a nice opening game for them. If this was at Villa Park, I think it'd be very different. Villa are obviously coming up and they've got the momentum, but I think Spurs should have way too much for them.
Yeah, speaking of spending money, Villa have done that. There's been comparisons drawn with Fulham when they spent over £100 million. And that's something that Villa have done. Will it work out better for Villa than it did for Fulham? I think they've got the right man in charge, I think.
It couldn't work out much worse, could it? Let's be honest. I I do see that comparison, though, as being a pretty fair one. I know some Villa fans have been really quite annoyed that that link has been made. They've signed some decent players and some players that, that could gel and could fit in. I'm not convinced, you know. I don't mind Villa at all, but I'm not sure that they're spending... that they spent so much money compared to other sides that have come up.
Not sure it's wise.
It's a risk, isn't it? It is a big risk.
OK. I fancy Spurs to win this. I think everyone fancies Spurs to win this game. I'm going with Lucas Moura to score first in this one. A bit of value away from Harry Kane.
I'm going to keep it simple. Kane to score first is sort of the meat and drink, if you like, of a football punter. I see no reason to stride away from that, to be honest. He's had a full pre-season. He looks fit, raring to go. Why wouldn't you back him to score first? I think he'll score first. I think Spurs will win this pretty cosily. I'd say 2-0, the most likely scoreline. I just cannot see Villa getting on the score sheet here.
The football's back and so is Golden Goal. Remember, if the team you back to win scores first, you win no matter what. You'll get paid out after the game up to £25 in cash, plus your qualifying stake. All the T's and C's are at williamhill.com and on the app. Best of luck.
Sunday, 2 o'clock, we've got Newcastle taking on Arsenal. Newcastle in the betting at 7-2, the draw 11-4. Arsenal 78-100. If you fancy both teams to score in the match, yes is available at 7-10. And no is a 21-20 shot. Don't forget, you can watch the punt if you're doing so now. Thank you. And you can listen as well at all your usual podcast places. This is an intriguing fixture, this one, because we get to see Steve Bruce in charge at Newcastle United. I think basically it was a case of next man that steps through the door, you've got the job, because they went so far down the list to find Steve Bruce. Massive Newcastle fan, Alex Dunn. What do you make to the appointment?
I was next on the list. I was so close, I was gutted.
Did you want it?
I would have taken it, yeah. But look, whoever replaced Rafa Benitez was not going to be particularly popular. I actually really like Steve Bruce as a person. As a tactician, I think there's a little bit to be desired. But I'm quietly optimistic about this game, at least, because I think in terms of the first team that Newcastle have, it's OK. I don't think it's enough to go down anyway, which is always a positive way to start the season.
they've spent some money. They brought Joe Linton in, but they've lost Iosi Perez. That might be a big miss with him going to Leicester. I don't know much about Joe Linton. Give us a few words on him.
He's a big lad, and he's got a decent touch, much like myself, Dave. I think he cost a lot, but in pre-season, he's actually impressed. You mentioned Perez leaving. Rondon's the key one, though. He's not there from last season. He's got to join Rafa in China. He will be missed, but... like I said, I just think a couple of those new signings just give a little bit of a bit of flair. Son Maximan, Almiron, Joe Linton's not a bad front three.
Arsenal's front three is pretty good as well. They've brought in Nicolas Pepe, they've got Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, and of course they've got Alexandre Lacazette as well. So they've got some serious attacking talent, Arsenal. That's a scary proposition for you, I think, going into Sunday's match.
It is, but the thing is with Arsenal, defensively, they just... don't convince. They needed to sign
David Luiz in,
but they needed a leader. They've not got a leader. That's what they needed. That's what they needed to spend big on.
Yeah.
Instead, they spent big on Pepe. It may work out, but I'm to be convinced anyway.
Newcastle, a big price then here. What's your bet in the game?
I'm just certain that Arsenal concede. Last season, they kept one away clean sheet all season in the Premier League, and that was away at Watford when Troy Deeney got sent off after 10 minutes. They were playing 10 men for most of that game. Against the bottom six from last year, I mean, take a look, the likes of Burnley, Cardiff, Huddersfield even scored against them. It doesn't bode particularly well. So I think Newcastle will score. I think Arsenal will score as well. I think both teams to score in a draw is a really, really good bet here. I think it's the most likely outcome. And I think both sides, I don't think either side would be devastated with that.
It wouldn't be the punt without a word from Derek McGovern. He will be offending a large percentage of the population throughout the entire season. So here's Derek and his thoughts on the opening weekend.
Why in God's name was everyone surprised that Cup fans booed the national anthem at Wembley? No one in Liverpool likes country music. Quite what the national anthem has to do with top-level club football is anybody's guess. But then I've always thought the same about Jordan Henderson. The Queen, I hear, was not amused by what happened at Wembley. She'd back City to win in 90 minutes. The only musical homage to a Queen I want to hear when Liverpool are playing is We Are The Champions. I may have to wait some time. Considering how Liverpool had played pre-season, I thought they'd be hammered by City. The fact they were the better team tells you two things. Never take notice of pre-season form, and never take notice of me. If it's been a bad week for the Queen, it's been an even worse week for Derby County. They've been saddled with Wayne Rooney. Rooney is returning from the MLS for the sake of his family. Presumably they're staying in America. His salary is so far unknown, but some are saying it's 100 grand a week. Rooney's always taken terrible stick from rival fans who say he's overrated, but I've always thought that he's living proof that form is temporary, Thatcher's permanent. It's the first week of the Premier League season, and that means one thing, Newcastle are in a battle for survival. The Toon aren't the greatest team in Europe, they're probably not even the greatest team in Newcastle, but no way should they be 17-5 to beat an Arsenal team who travel about as well as Naomi Campbell. I'm backing them at those odds, and I suggest you do too.
I hope you were watching that, because that was worth it just for Steve Bruce's smile there. Derek going with Newcastle. I'll tell you how predictable Derek is. I got a tweet the other night saying Derek's best bet on the opening weekend will definitely be Newcastle.
Standard.
As value, standard. So there you go. Big game of the weekend, by the way, Man United versus Chelsea at Old Trafford. Manchester United 23-20 to win the game. They draw 23-10. Chelsea in the betting at 5-2. This is all about the managers for me, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. It's going to be interesting to see how he starts the season, because the end of last season was not good. And I think a lot of people thought Manchester United were trigger happy in appointing him. Such an inexperienced manager for such a big job.
Yeah, and they just don't seem anywhere near the force of old, do they? Even though they had that good start under him and things looked a little rosier, then all of a sudden it looked pretty desperate. They need to get off to a good start, more than most teams do, I think, from a confidence point of view. They could well do so, and I don't think this game's as difficult as it traditionally would be, and that's because of Chelsea's transfer ban.
Yeah, and I think they've strengthened in the right areas, Manchester United as well. Aaron Wan-Bissaka's going to be, I think, sensational at right-back. They've brought in Slabhead, Harry Maguire. That's always affectionately known.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone wants to be called Slabhead, don't they? So they've strengthened in the right areas, I think, Manchester United. Dan James looks an interesting signing as well. And Chelsea, with that transfer ban, it's going to be tough for Frank Lampard. I think you mentioned it off-air. He's freewheeling to a certain extent in this first year.
Yeah, well, he's basically got just a free pass, hasn't he? He can do what he wants and blame it on the fact that he had no money to spend. It's sort of a win-win for him. It will be difficult, though, because obviously losing Eden Hazard is a massive, massive blow. He was so integral to what they do. And you're going to be looking at fringe players to step up, the likes of Pedro and Willian, who've been in and out for a couple of seasons, are now going to have to be really, really on it. They're going to have to hit the ground running as well. I worry for Chelsea, to be honest, this season. But as I said, Lampard won't care. He's sort of just going, fine, this is not my mess. I will quite happily be judged from next season onwards. So I think you may see Chelsea being a little more expansive than they have been under Sarri and Mourinho before him.
I think this is a tough game to call. I've not got a definitive answer to this particular puzzle. I'm hoping you have.
Yeah, I think a draw is a really, really stonking bet here, to be fair, because I can see both teams scoring. I think the likes of Rashford and Martial are going to do enough for Man U to cause problems to Chelsea's backline. But I just, even though Man U have reinforced at the back, I still think they are vulnerable. And I think Chelsea could nick one too. So I think 1-1 is the most likely scoreline. But I just think, full stop, the draw is a really good bet here. And honestly, first day of the season, both sides just won't want to lose. That's the key here. And both sides, I think, if it's 1-1 with 20 minutes to go, if they're drawing with 20 minutes to go, neither side's going to be busting a gut to win it. I think the draw's a great bet.
1-1 draw then for Alex in the game. Now, if you are watching the punt, maybe this is the time to switch to the podcast, because we've got Football League Naps coming up with Pete Farries, Gav Pushlowski and Al Ross.
My nap this week is going to be Charlton. They're 12-5, which to me is an absolutely massive price. They got a great win away at Blackburn on the opening day of the season, a side who I think will go well. And Charlton, this time at home, are taking on a Stoke side who since January have converted less than 4% of their away day shots into goals. Not only that, Stoke also made a big mess of things on the opening day of the season against QPR. So for me, Charlton, the nap, they're just too big.
First nap of the League One season, playing it fairly safe, hope to get off to a winning start. It's Fleetwood at 4-5 at home to Wimbledon. Fleetwood have recruited well with Paul Coutts, an excellent addition in midfield, and Chad Evans signing permanently up front. Chad Evans has scored three in the last two against Wimbledon. They played three times against each other last season, two in the league, one in the FA Cup. And Fleetwood last two games won 3-0 at Wimbledon and 3-2 at home to Wimbledon. So could go for plenty of goals to boost the price, but my nap is Fleetwood at 4-5 at home to Wimbledon.
Keep it simple, it's early in the season and back Plymouth to beat Colchester at 11-10. Plymouth were almost good enough to stay up in League One last season anyway. And they brought in half of Bury to get them straight back up. The manager, five players, including the former League Two player of the season. Colchester were 8th last season, which is why Plymouth are odds against, but 8th was overachieving. Giovanni Brown will be good, he's been brought in, but still, Plymouth won more home games last season than Colchester won away, and Plymouth were the league above, so backing them 11-10.
Let's finish off with the naps then. Let's hope to get some positive numbers on the board this season. We've heard from Derek, he's going with Newcastle, thinks their value at 7-2. I'm going to go with Manchester City to win and both teams to score at 6-4. Alex Dunn, what's your best bet?
I'm going for a stalemate at Old Trafford. Man U, Chelsea draw, the best bet of the week for me.
And that's currently available at 23-10. And we've heard from Pete Farris, Gav Bushlowski and Al Ross a few moments ago. Pete's going with Charlton to win, Gav with Fleetwood to win and Al with Plymouth to win. Don't forget, you can check out this podcast at all your usual podcast providers. And of course, for the first time ever, you can watch the punts on William Hill's YouTube page as well. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Mr. Dunn.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. And we'll be back next week.